I'm not sure. I don't have. Oh, hold on. We already have an update from the outside world. We haven't even gotten started.
News from the world
with Frank Spate.
Say it again.
We're eating dinner. Do you want soft shell taco or hard shell? The hard shell is really good.
Do I just get one?
You can get more, I think.
I'll take a soft shell and a hard shell. Frank, before you go, today was the first day back from spring break. Walk us through it. How is it to be back at home school?
Terrible.
Come on, seriously.
I'd rather spring break.
You'd rather spring break? Yeah, but yeah. You're back at school. What are you thinking about being homeschooled?
Oh, yeah, it's way more fun than normal school.
Who's your teacher this year?
Miss Dad.
Miss Dad. Funny. Good stuff. All right, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
When are you going to come in for dinner?
What?
When are you going to come in for dinner?
You guys go ahead and eat. Rob and I just figured out the technical problems on
Rich, I'm sorry.
The microphone.
Okay.
Bye.
I've got
dinner without the family.
I've got so many things to say.
Podcast first.
First of all, yeah, I'm sorry. I feel guilty. I feel guilty. The people and I all thank you. Also, how long did you rehearse him to say that you're his teacher?
Not at all, but I liked the Miss Dad.
Miss Dad was good. It was very Richard of him to do to you.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I think I sound like I'm in a cave. I feel like I haven't figured out how to turn off all the crap.
Well, okay, hold on. Okay, hold on. Let's start from the beginning. Let's play the theme song.
Man, okay, play this song. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, go.
Hey, hey, everything's great. And my guest is Richard Spade.
Hey, everybody. This is Rob Benedict. We're here. It's episode 4 of And My Guest is Richard Spade. And as always, I've got with me Richard Spade. Rich, explain the hour-long delay.
Dude, for starters, okay, no one knows it's an hour-long delay because it's a flipping podcast.
I know.
So they listen whenever.
No, I know.
All right, but fine. So it's an hour. We're an hour behind schedule, or as Rob likes to call it, a drink and a half.
That's true. Almost two full ones.
Almost two full drinks behind. I am so... It's like Apple. I get it. You're a computer company. Quit with the effing updates, dude.
You're killing me. Here's the question, though. Did you do anything to your...
I didn't do a goddamn thing to my computer other than use it to try to educate the children, Robert. The children.
Okay, well, something happened in there. But
yeah, well, maybe Tim Cook decided to go fiddle with a button and way down here. You know, when a butterfly flaps its wings in Omaha, there's a tsunami in Tokyo. Here's what happened over here is Tim Cook decided to, you know, scratch his tuckus up there in Mill Valley, and Dick Spade can't do a podcast. That's what happens.
I don't think we blame this on Tim Cook. I just don't.
I'm pointing a finger at somebody.
Well,
you don't want it at you.
If I were you,
I would divert it away from you.
Sir, I think the call is coming from inside the house.
Right now, it sounds like the call is coming from inside a cavern because I've got so much reverb. I don't even know what's going on.
All right. Hold on. Are you using the same
David
mic?
Coverdale.
Okay. Oh, boy. So.
I'm using the same effing mic I always use. Okay, they changed everything. I had to re-download GarageBand. I had to re-download GarageBand.
Okay.
I used to be actually in a GarageBand.
Well,
this is not an actual GarageBand.
Yeah.
This isn't a bunch of broke dudes in a crappy room where cars park trying to scrap out some meaning with guitars and drums and bass. No, this is a effing computer program.
It's for douchebags
like me and you to do fancy podcasts.
It should be called Fancy Podcast. No, don't include me in your douchebag.
Too late. It's a collateral damage.
I've been ready for an hour. I'm two drinks in.
Frank's lucky.
Are you drinking?
I am now.
Well, good.
But I wasn't while I was trying to solve the problem.
Can I try to help
Good
you
Lord.
With what's going on? Last week was perfect, Rich. It's perfect.
Last week was great. It was perfect. It's like Tim Cook heard the podcast, said, a little too easy, and just, you know, with his little swirly stick, did something to the magic knob. You know, Rob, you know your way around a magic knob, and he did a little something that, like, effed it all up, man. It was all great. Now, I did...
Listen... Here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that an angry wife who clearly from last week is not a fan of the show, that she got in there and messed it up. She didn't watch.
Let me tell you about the machete. Let me walk you through what the machete would do. Because the machete, she doesn't give two F's about what you and I are doing in here. She thinks we're a couple of dingleberries, mm-hmm. you know, screwing around. She doesn't care.
I know.
You know damn well I'm right. The machete wouldn't come in here and try to, like, write new code that messes up the system. Right. She would take my computer and hurl it into the Silver Lake Reservoir. And then she would take this mic and she would call it something, you know, profane and back over it with the car.
I mean,
she wouldn't care. She's a machete.
I want to say for all the listeners, just to be fair, I mean, we were painting a... I certainly painting a picture of your wife that's not accurate or fair, because in reality, she's... The truth is that J.C. Hayes Spate is so much cooler than you and me that she makes us, she accentuates our nerdness because she's just so cool. So it's not that she's mean or she's angry. I mean she might be a little angry, but she's not mean. She's a lovely, lovely person who sees us for what we are.
Yeah, she gets it. And I know that machete may seem like a harsh nickname, but that's only what I call her because of the
That's what they gave
14-inch machete she has tattooed up her spine.
Say, yeah, that's the name they gave her at the ashram. Oh. I only say,
so have you ever seen my wife in a bathing suit? If you ever wondering, like, is that Richard's wife in that bathing suit? If she turns around and has a blood-tipped machete tattooed from,
slow down, paint the picture.
Up, down there, and up there.
Paint the picture. So what, are we at a pool? Are we at a ocean?
Hey, everybody calm down. Robert. The first time Rob ever met my wife, it was his eyes shaking hands with her bottom. The awful exchange. Hideous.
At least I was honest about it. At least I was honest to you right away.
You were too honest.
I came right to you. I know. This is all, it could have just existed in my head, but no. I had to tell you, I had impure thoughts about your wife without knowing.
You're like Shiv. You know, Shiv could have affairs on Tom, and she doesn't need to tell Tom. She just can't wait to tell Tom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We, of course, are talking about...
So Shiv sprains her jaw to tell Tom, oh, I happen to, you know, have a little fiddle-faddle
while you were working. We're talking about our favorite show, Succession, which...
And by the way, spoiler alert. Too late.
Yeah.
We already spoiled.
It's a postscript spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, you know, do me a favor. Play that postscript spoiler alert, because we're going to have more than one of these. We need the theme song that you already wrote that you're about to play now.
All right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we already screwed it up. We already spoiled it. Too late. But here's the theme song for post facto spoiler alert. Take it, Robbo.
Spoiler alert. Post facto.
Oh, that was good. I like that.
Nailed it.
It's catchy.
Catchy.
Yeah, how'd you like my music from last week?
Great.
Yeah,
it's great.
I was excited. I was excited about news from the world, which we've already had one.
News from the world. By the way, I mean, I don't know how you're going to edit this, because this is Rob does all the magic behind the scenes here. But I mean, I don't know what you do with that Frank piece. I think you got to keep it.
You got to
right?
start with like, that. No, Frank. You start with that. It's your teaser. It's our teaser.
It's like your teaser.
Yeah.
Frank's becoming somewhat of an internet celebrity, a celebutant, you will.
I've been a big fan since he was, it's early stuff, since like 2, 3.
America 101. He's, you know, right there in the poster smoking a cigarette.
That's right. That's
Frank's
right.
Frank's been on, Frank's my entertainment child.
I like that you just don't listen to the professionals and you have your baby smoking.
My favorite part is my children seeing that poster, the movie poster that has Rick Gomez and Frank Spate both smoking cigarettes, and they're like, they're both smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I said, no, only Frank was. We had to draw Rick's in. Rick doesn't smoke, but Frank was smoking at the time. For a second, they believed me.
My daughter said to me the other day, she was like, I don't think I'm going to drink, and I don't think I'm going to smoke either. I'm like, damn right you're not.
That's my question. When she said you're not gonna, she's not gonna drink and not gonna smoke, did you stub out your cigarette angrily, or did you just set it down to
no,
come back to it later?
I finished my cigarette, and then I said, "It's a good idea."
Set down your martini.
Yeah, and then I said, "Same." Same.
And you said, that's great, Audrey. Do me a favor. Finish the Manhattan, then tell me. But Daddy needs another elixir. Oh, God. This is just one of those, what?
What were you going to say? It's one of those what?
No, go. Go. Tell your story.
I've been drinking more than I usually do.
Ladies and gentlemen, play the... News of the Impossible. Here's the theme, Rob. Play the News of the Impossible right now, ladies and gentlemen. Go.
That would be impossible.
Never happened.
Yeah, it's true. I bought, you recommended a liquor store in our neighborhood, and I ordered a bottle from them of the mezcal I described last week. And then,
the good people of Silver Lake Wine. Here's
right.
an unpaid for endorsement. Silver
right.
Lake Wine.
It'd be great if we get endorsed by Silver Lake Wine. And
Silver Lake Wine doesn't need our business. Silver Lake Wine literally is doing work. They're like the Rolling Stones concerts going on sale. Tickets are going on sale.
Yeah.
There's a timely reference.
Yeah.
So whatever hip band going on sale, they can't keep stock on the shelf.
Yeah. No, it's it's been great, and they delivered a bottle of mezcal that I really enjoyed, this new bottle I got, my second bottle, so
yeah,
4 weeks of quarantine, I've had two 1.5 bottles. This one has a leak in it.
That's two. Just some people at home or people across the pond who might be listening. That's two fortnights.
Yeah, two fortnights. I had, this new bottle has a leak in it. I just, it's just going real quick. too quick.
You know, you had me for a second there. I'm like, they delivered a broken bottle?
I think they did.
Oh, Christ.
It's been rough. Rough.
It's unbelievable. You know what I get annoyed with? I get annoyed at people who are handling this well. That those people just really chap my hide. Yeah. I think we're doing fine. I think we're doing fine. I really do. I think history will judge us kindly.
Yeah.
I think my sons will look back in as an adult and like, Dad, you didn't totally shit the bed during that period.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, boys.
Yeah.
But today was one of those days. You're just like,
yeah.
I tried a couple of things. I'm homeschooling three boys.
And they're back to school today after spring break. Same here.
They're back.
Yeah.
They're back,
same.
Man. And even spring break, no trip to the beach because you can't take a trip to the beach.
That's right. Exactly.
And you really can't do anything.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to entertain three boys in the confines in the house, and they're good dudes. They get it. They're tapped in. They are really, they have fantastic attitudes.
Yeah.
But holy macaroni, there's a lot of hours in the day.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of boy energy. And boy energy, child energy. Anybody out there is a parent, you know what I'm saying. And I'm sure people who only have one child have a whole different story that I would love to hear. And someday, maybe, well, I'd be able to have somebody on this show who has one child, and they can walk us through what that is like, because that's a different obstacle course. But three boys, two boys, boy, girl.
Well, people with more than two children, though, like to let you know that they've got more than two children. Like when you, as a father of three boys, will look at me, a father of two children, and say, no. Now you can't even compare the two. And my friend Greg Grunberg has three boys as well, Rich, and he always was like, "No, I'm sorry, no, you've got no complaining to do."
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, I also know your children, and they were sent here by God, and
well,
they were set, and
true.
They were just like tapped on the head,
not
and
been
off
easy,
they went.
Rich, but I appreciate you saying I'm a good parent. I do appreciate that.
You have wonder. I know. By the way, we've had this conversation, I'm going to go on a limb and underestimate 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I say how great your kids are, because they are, but I also underplay how hard you've worked, because I do as a jerk.
Sure.
And you always like, thank you for the parenting compliment. you always spin it.
Yeah.
Brilliantly.
Spin it.
Deftly.
Yeah.
No, listen, you and Molly have done a phenomenal job with those kids. Those kids are lights out, great kids.
Yeah.
JC and I are just like, we're the Jackson Pollock of parenting. We're just like splatter painting all over the place. No. We don't know what's going on.
Not true. Both of your kids like stand when an adult walks in the room. They're very polite. You've taught them to be very polite.
They are very polite. You know, can we talk about parenting mistakes?
Yeah.
Can we be honest about that during this COVID time?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, man. Like I said, I was setting this up. I got good kids. I got nice kids. They get it, but they're still compounded energy, exponential energy. Kids are just going crazy during this time. Even if they're going fun crazy, they're going crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm going to say this, and I really shouldn't say it in this forum. This is not the forum to share this.
Okay.
Because this is the kind of crap I would tell you privately and you would mock me privately, but I'll just tell you publicly, so to speak.
If I can mock you publicly. Okay, good.
Yeah, but I really didn't think it was a mistake. I'm going to say this is going to sound like a joke, and it's not a joke. I really thought, you know, I'm trying to educate the kids. And so I thought this would be a great opportunity to get into some civics lessons in American history because we have all this downtime. That is, you know, so rather than dismantle the lighting fixtures, I thought we'd try to do something different. And so I started the Ken Burns Civil War series today.
Oh, wow.
With the boys.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that went over like a Led Zeppelin. not because the boys aren't very, very aware of... importance of that conflict and how
it was... Americans is what they are.
Well, was this necessary? That, you know, just to be like. First of all, I think Ken Burns is an American treasure. He's a global treasure.
He is. But was it nap time? Was your goal to put them to sleep or?
Hold on. I want you to play the theme song for Rich Needs a Moment because Rob said something dumbass. Play that song.
Rich needs a moment.
That series is a masterpiece.
I agree.
It's a masterstroke.
I think.
It's unbelievable. Hold on. News from the outside world.
Here we go.
News from the world.
With a machete.
It's a machete. Hold on. Machete coming in for a hot topic. Machete, what's going on?
Part of this weird little thing.
Okay. She just said, I'm not going to be a part of this weird little thing and stormed out. That's how you know it wasn't an actress playing the machete, because no actress would improv that. That's just pure machete. But in fairness to Machete, while she was barking out the angriest thing she could come up with, she was also grabbing her incense off the table. She's a mixed bag of half hippie, half hate. It's Rich's wife, the machete.
Well, really, it's the Hazes.
All the Hazes.
Combo platter.
I figured out this out. There's three Hayes girls, and one thing I figured out, they're all incredibly intelligent women. They're all incredibly independent women. They're all incredibly good-looking women, and they all hate men. So it's a fascinating combo. But they all love their father. I don't get it. Steve Hayes. I don't know what he did.
He's the coolest.
But man, he's the coolest guy alive.
But you know what?
Maybe they hate every man who's not Steve Hayes. Maybe that's it.
I think that might be it. Maybe it's what happens when you have a really cool dad. You just, no other man measures up. My daughter's going through, you know, puberty right now. So it's like, it's that combo platter of like, I love you, I need you. And then like, you don't get it. Go away.
That's going to be fun.
It's fine. Like you said, I'm very, very lucky. Like my kids are pretty great. And even like, I'll call them out. I'm like, oh, wow, you're being such a teenager. Like, no, I'm not. You know. No, Dad, no.
Oh, Dad, listen, it happened yesterday. We went on a family walk, and my oldest boy was being a real, he's 13, and he's being a real 13-year-old, class A 13-year-old.
Yep.
And I said, at what point we're doing something, and he's doing whatever. I'm like, Steve, are you really being this guy, or are you auditioning for the role of the snarky teen in the...
Did he laugh?
Because so far, it's spot on read. Yeah, he laughed.
Yeah, I mean, that's
it. Oh, hey, everybody. The machete's back. Jace, you got to say something. The people, you've become an internet celebrity.
Act like I'm not here.
Act like you're not here. Okay, she's not here, everybody. She's not groping through. What are you looking for?
I have actual work, so.
Oh. I hope you heard that, America. Yeah, your laptop's over there where I safely placed it so I could do this gig. And there she goes. I've never seen her madder. Wow.
Is she gone?
Can't write this, people.
You can't. It's the best show and not on television. Oh my God. And if the listeners, if you're just joining us, I'm talking to Richard Speight.
Hold on. Can you play the sound effect of a man shooting himself in the temple every time you say, if you're just joining us?
I've got it now. Note to self, find a gunshot.
Sir, this is a podcast.
If you could see her, she's the most gorgeous woman. She's so smart.
Knockout.
She's so cool. And what's
sharp
great
as attack.
About your relationship, too. And I feel, you know, linked to you in this whole scenario is just that, like I said, she's just doesn't have time for it. Just no time.
She's never had time for it. Not once.
She's working on bigger and better stuff, man.
Yeah, dude. Well, first of all, there's nobody who's a parent who's not going through what you're going through or what I'm going through. You don't escape puberty. Your kids, you're going to go through it. It's going to
happen. Well, and you know, I think quarantine puberty is an interesting thing.
Oh, man. Hey, listen, ramble a bit while I get a beer from the fridge.
Okay. You know, you didn't really even have to say that because I was just, give me permission to talk while you're not talking. You know, Rich, I was going to say that I have a real prejudice. Are you back yet? I have a real prejudice as beer, Rich gets a beer, beer gets a Rich. Rich.
Did you say jerky things about my upbringing?
No, I was delaying my story, and okay. And then I said, "Beer gets a Rich" instead of "Rich gets a beer."
ladies and gentlemen, two drinks in, Rob Benedict.
Here's my comment. During the quarantine, our neighborhood that we live in. Is our city that we lived in, there's been a mandate that we're supposed to wear masks when we leave the house.
Yeah.
And I've been diligent about wearing my mask. If I go running, I wear a mask. If I go to the grocery store, I wear a mask. I don't wear it
wearing a mask running. Good for you.
Yeah, dude. If like wearing a mask was 100, if to wear it all the time and 0 was wearing it none of the time, I'm at like 80. There are people
who
wear it in their cars. That's not me. But I wear it everywhere else, yeah. And when I'm walking or running around, when I'm running around the lake.
Yeah.
If the people that aren't wearing a mask, I have a real prejudice against. I'm like, come on.
You're a maskist.
I'm a maskist. I'm a maskist. Because to me, I've gotten nothing against people who it's like choosing to give vaccinations to your children. We either all do it or we don't. None of us do it. And for me, the thing that's going on right now is that we should all be doing this.
Okay. Let me. I hear you. Let me paint a picture for you and see. Just get your reaction.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying, and I know where you're running.
Okay.
And where you're running is a populated area. But what if you're running in the neighborhood streets, not passing people? Do you feel the need to wear a mask in that period?
No. It's just when you're around a lot of people, when you have to be, you know, it's like going to the grocery store or going running or going walking, getting outside, which we all have to do.
Around people.
And we live in a city area, you and me. I'm not talking about where you don't see a lot of people. And I'm also not judging anyone who's not doing it. I'm offering my opinion, which doesn't mean I'm right. But I can't help but feel like, oh, come on, I'm doing it, dude. You know, if you're not doing it, you know, I just feel like the thing for all of us to do is listen to the experts and do what they tell us, and this thing can go away. And as a state, California's doing really well. But anyway, so that's my thing. I find myself being judgy against the non-masters.
No, man. I get it. You're not being judgy. Real quick sidebar. I want to continue this, but I figured out why I sound so reverby.
Okay.
The reverb is on.
There you go. There you go. Can you turn it off?
I can.
I'm going to make you sound great.
I can also turn it higher.
Don't.
Hello, Robert.
See, now you're in.
Why you were
deep dark
man,
canyon.
This is. Wait a minute. I'm in a deep dark canyon. Robbie, go with me on a journey.
Okay.
What? It won't open. You can't turn it on very. This is a stupid feature.
Talk.
Hold on, I'm still with you on this. No, I'm with you on the mask thing. I'm not gone.
I think I'm over.
Oh, there it
I
is.
Mean,
oh,
think
wow.
I think
crap.
Oh boy, what's happening?
I'm really... Rob, send help.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
What's the theme song for Rich? Rich can't work GarageBand.
Yeah, I'm
Rich
a reverb.
Rich can't work GarageBand.
I don't remember when I verbed, but apparently I reverbed. Boop. There, now it's off. Okay. You in a mask. No, listen, man. I'm with you. I'm wearing the mask.
Are you?
Like,
are you?
We took the the family. We took the dog for a walk yesterday on Easter Sunday. We all masked up.
There you go.
All of us. And if I'm going to pass people, I do a mask. Here's the one challenge: running to me is really hard at the mask, so I don't go where you're going, where all the people are.
That's smart.
I've been going.
You know, I recently moved into this neighborhood, so I don't know it as well as you. So I only know that run. I find it's like I'm training in the Alps because your oxygen supply is cut off so much.
Okay, now here's another unnatural segue. Play your unnatural segue theme song, please.
Here
thanks.
We go.
Unnatural, unnatural, unnatural segue.
Speaking of the Alps, you know what we did yesterday?
What?
We watched The Sound of Music.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, man, we did.
How was that?
It was great. I haven't seen it in a long time. I think it's a fantastic movie. You know what's... Here's what you shouldn't do with classic movies with your children. And I've done it wrong twice.
Okay.
And it's a big screw-up. So I'm going to share this with people. And again...
It's Entertainment Lockdown Recommendations.
Sound of Music. That's on the recommendation list. Here's what you don't do. So I've shown the family Shane, the classic Western.
Okay.
And now Sound of Music.
Okay.
And they're both great movies, absolutely worth watching.
And Civil War.
What you don't that was okay. Okay. I'm two for three. but the other two were great.
Yeah.
Big hits.
Yeah.
What you don't do is then go online if you're me and go, "Oh, wow, this is a classic old film. I wonder what those actors went on to do. I'm not familiar with this cast." And if you're me, don't then go on and go, "Oh, that guy died at 30 and watch the room just deflate. Which is what I did with Shane, because the main kid in Shane, I'm like, "This kid's great. What happened to this kid?"
Oh, bummer.
And he was in HUD or a couple other movies and great. And then he died in a car wreck at 30. And I said that, and my middle son just burst into tears. And he's like, "I really wish you hadn't told me that."
Fletch is a sensitive soul, too. Wow. That's
such sensitive, man.
Buddy, that's awful. That's awful anyway.
Yeah, Fletch just burst into tears. Where, first of all, Shane is not exactly a toe tapper. So, you know, you're already kind of down. And then you go, "Oh, and that little boy that you just fell in love with and he's so cute died in a car wreck."
Dead.
And then I did the same thing with the Sound of Music. But it was different.
Died?
It wasn't me
who
looking
died?
Up. I looked up the hot kid. She was the 16. I am 16 going on. Which, by the way, in Hollywood, she was probably 24 going on 29.
Oh,
you know
the
what I'm saying,
old,
when they shot the thing.
The
but
oldest sister.
The older sister.
Yeah.
Liesel.
Yeah.
And she's just a knockout.
Oh,
you're watching Liesel,
so
you're like...
She reminds me of my friend Kimberly Williams. Kim Williams, who was the father of the bride.
She's also...
That's...
Yes.
And that's who she looks like to me.
Because Kimberly's your friend, I'll say Kimberly's also very attractive. I'll use a better lingo for
beautiful,
that.
Beautiful.
Knockout. So, I mean, I'm sitting there watching Liesel, and Liesel's just, you know, firing all cylinders. And I'm like, Liesel. I got to see what happened to Liesel. Now, Liesel passed away at the age of 76 a couple years ago, or 73.
Oh,
so
well, that's
you know,
a good long life.
Good long life, and by the way, the photos they have of her at every stage of her life was a happy and lovely lady.
Oh, that's good.
But again, not a thing, not the kind of thing you announce. But I'm going to go. So if you're watching, if you've never seen Sound of Music, pause, pause the tape here. Hit stop on the recorder. Go watch it. Come back.
What are you talking Here's about? We're live on the radio, sir.
No, no, no. Right. You can't stop a radio show. I'm saying take the cassette out of the player for a hot minute.
Oh, okay.
Just give it a rest.
Uh-huh. Stop the reel to reel.
Yeah, stop the reel to reel. It is, you watch that and then you watch the guy, Rolf, who is her sort of, he's the, you know,
Nazi.
Her Austrian, but well, not, we don't know at the top.
Richard,
I mean,
he's
so,
a Nazi. Spoiler alert.
He is a Nazi. But
spoiler alert,
he's
Nazi.
Play your theme.
Here we go.
Spoiler alert.
Post facto, spoiler alert. Post facto, spoiler alert.
Rolf was a Nazi the whole time.
Rolf. Post facto, spoiler alert. It's already been spoiled. F off. Rolf, he's like, this is my thing, man. I question Rolf. Rolf's got a lot. Not only is he a Nazi, which is just right there, the worst you can be, but a Nazi who's not into Liesl. I mean, like...
I was going to say, how do you lead with he's a Nazi, but worse than that?
Because I don't get it. Anyway, it's worth watching. It's worth watching just to go,
you know,
oh my gosh.
You know what's funny, Richard, is I looked up today because I'm working on this other little, working on like doing a scene with some dudes that I know. And in this little scene, we have to sing Do Re Mi. And it's just like a sketch thing or whatever. So I looked up Sound of Music Do Re Mi today. I looked
that
up. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, this is such a great musical. Like, we don't have great musicals anymore. I know you're a huge fan of La La Land.
Dude, that I'm not a huge fan of. I love musicals. La La Land. I've never turned a movie off faster than La La Land. I mean, sprained my Achilles leaping up to hit stop on the DVD player in La La Land. But I didn't know it was going to be a stupid musical. So everybody started hopping out of there. Cars.
But you love musicals.
I love musicals. The weird thing is I love musicals.
Yeah.
But I got to know I'm going in to see a musical. I mean, I'm a massive musical fan, man. I grew up, the Spate family, every vacation, all we did was listen from Nashville down to Florida, listen to Broadway soundtracks.
I know. And
that's it. I knew
always,
all of Annie,
surprised
Sound of Music.
Because I always thought you hated musicals, but turns out you're actually a big Broadway fan.
I love Broadway, man. I would have loved to have had that skill to have that voice to be a Broadway singer.
Oh man,
Broadway star.
Well, you know, one of my favorite musicals of all time, favorite movies of all time, and favorite part that I ever played was in Oliver. I played the Artful Dodger. It's a great musical, great movie, one best movie.
Great movie
in the '60s, like 67 or something, and
one best picture the year it came out.
Did. Yeah. And that's one of those, Rich, that if you look it up on IMDb, the kid who played the Artful Dodger died at like 35 or something. Like, he died very young.
That blows.
But he was great, and Oliver was great. Fagin's amazing.
Oliver Reed as Bill Sykes.
Reed. Dude,
how scary is he?
YouTube Oliver Reed and look up like an interview he does. Like, he so frightening. As a person, seems lovely, but he liked. The drink.
I don't know, man. He seems scary as a person too. Like
he was like he's me on quarantine. I mean, he likes his mezcal.
He likes his, yeah. I hope you're not Oliver Reed because you're gonna die on your bedside table because that man died in a bar in Malta while shooting Gladiator. You know that,
holy
right?
Shit, like he. That's right. What? Tell me about. Tell
he
me.
He just.
About.
He was shooting Gladiator in Malta, playing the trainer of all
I remember
the gladiators.
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he just dropped dead. He dropped dead, apparently from drinking related, you know, bullshittiness. And
dude.
He was, fell off the stool dead. And they went in and CGI'd his face onto another actor's body to finish off his scenes in the movie. And Oliver Reed, there's a famous, I'm going to date myself here, but this actually even predates me. It's just I've seen the clip. But there's a famous Oliver Reed moment with Shelley Winters on Johnny Carson.
Yeah, that's what
now,
I was thinking.
There's a lot of people here who may not know any of those people.
No.
But this clip is worth finding because back in the time, like we're living, thankfully, in the era of the Me Too movement when some men who are well-deserving of a comeuppance are getting it, and hopefully that is the beginning of a tsunami of guys getting their act together,
yeah,
and women getting treated fairly and equally and with respect in all places, mm-hmm. home and work alike.
Yeah,
this was not that time. This was the 60s, and Oliver Reed was on The Tonight Show, and Johnny Carson was saying something. And Shelley Winters, for people who don't know, was a two-time Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
I mean, incredibly talented actress,
yeah.
performer.
I'm going to look it up.
She had been the guest. She had been the guest and left, and then Oliver Reed was on the sofa talking to Johnny and was making like the most misogynistic comments about, like, you know, women should be at home in the kitchen raising the babies.
Ah, it's the worst. It's he's just so drunk.
And then Shelley Winters walks on back on the stage. This is back when it was live TV. Back on the stage, to everybody's surprise, with a drink, dumps it on Oliver Reed's head, and walks off.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best.
The best. Not a bit.
No.
Not planned.
And she
Johnny
was,
didn't know what to do. Oliver is flummoxed.
She was.
Oh, man, she was livid.
Cool, man. She's like the machete. Super talented Dude. Lady, and just like wouldn't
Absolutely.
Take any shit. She was.
No.
I'm reading now. I looked it up. She was won two Academy Awards. Two. For The Diary of Anne Frank and A Patch of Blue, and she received two other nominations. So nominated four times, won twice.
Not bad.
Not fucking bad.
Not too shabby.
Yeah.
No, man. So like, it's worthwhile to watch that. Oliver Reed, but that persona that he was in real life. I mean, like he carried that onto the screen. He was such a scary guy. I never met the man. I mean, it's on screen.
And Oliver, he's terrifying.
Terrifying. That movie is so worth watching. That movie is so well done. But what's funny, what we laughed about with Sound of Music was how, and I don't know if it's the style of the time or how musicals just are or a combination of all these things, but you literally go, for starters, there's an intermission in that movie, which is hilarious. There's this giant, you know,
oh, that's
beautiful.
Right. Yes.
Part of the, there's something that says, you know, intermission just comes up on the screen and is there for, you know, 2 minutes.
It's amazing.
And then there's another card that comes up that is French for before the act, entr'acte. It's just, and you're playing, and it plays like the
entre's
orchestral.
Entre between?
Oh, yeah, I guess, yes, avant. But yeah, so between the act. And it's the sort of it's a score recap. It's a musical recap of the movie.
Yeah.
Just like if you were seeing this, and I guess in the theater, you'd be hearing the but it's long. It's not like a 30-second ditty. It's a thing, and
it's a whole piece.
And there you go. And then the movie starts again. But what we thought was so funny is you're like, he's you know, Christopher Plummer is courting the Baroness, and then realizes he has a thing for Julie Andrews, which, by the way, no jury would convict. I mean, Julie Andrews, nobody cuter on screen ever than Julie Andrews in Sound of Music. I mean, holy macaroni.
It's beautiful, so cute.
And,
almost boyish.
And then, do you have an awkward silence theme that you could maybe put in here? Because that's really not where I was going with that, but hey, whatever, man. Sure. Rolf? All right. Cool, man.
I don't know. I think she's cute. She's really cute, but she almost maybe a little boyish. Maybe too boyish for me. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. It's like I totally respect. Think she's adorable.
Uh-huh.
But a little bit boyish for me. Too boyish for me, maybe.
all right. Anywho, she.
This podcast is brought to you by Alpo.
Alpo.
Clean dogs.
She.
Clean teeth.
Shiny coat. She and Christopher Plummer, they confess each love for each other. They kiss in this really long scene. It takes forever that I'd forgotten was in part of the movie, which, by the way, really peed off the machete. She's like, this has been my favorite part of this movie forever. And you forgot it was part of the movie? I'm like, I don't recall this scene.
What happens?
She's like, this is the love scene, not love scene, but like a expression of love song between Christopher Plummer.
Do they kiss?
And they kiss in the, what do you call that? Greenhouse, wherever the hell it is. It's some kind of... Oh, what do you call that thing? What do you call that thing?
Where the kids sing the I Am Just 17?
Yeah, right outside that bed. It's a glass. I mean, it's a... What do you
call that? What do you call that? Where you get married out in the
crap.
I'm going to try to look it up.
Yeah, okay. Everybody, this is classic Benedict Entertainment. Cone of silence while he Googles.
I'm looking up outdoor porch where you get married.
We really need to get you a manual typewriter so we can hear that tick 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 tick. Actually, put that sound in. Add some typewriter sounds here.
Okay.
Ding. Yeah. Cool.
What should I search? Vagoda? No.
Like Abe? Vagoda? The guy who played Fish?
But isn't that a pagoda? Isn't that what a pagoda is?
No, I think it's like a something, not a credenza. That's a piece of furniture, but it's a thing, man. Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing you stand under. I gotta go ask the wife. It's a thing you stand under. I'll Google thing you stand under. Hold on. Thing in a garden. To stand under. Yinder? No, sorry, I misspelled it. Under.
All right. Man. Hey.
There you go.
Shoot, I wish you could hear right now. Outside my house, people are like...
Gazebo! Gazebo!
Gazebo!
Gazebo!
Gazebo! Gazebo!
Rich was a Google search for the gazebo.
Yeah, you do. You won. I gave up because right outside, it's 8:02.
Oh, we should be screaming.
Yeah.
Rob, you got to scream. Ready? It's 8 p.m. in Southern California. That means it's time to lean out the window and cheer for all of the people who are putting their lives on the line for the health of everybody else. That means medical professionals. That means... anybody delivering goods, be it mail people, delivery people of FedEx, UPS, company delivering anything.
I want the listeners.
Food delivery people.
Wait, listeners, listen right now. Just listen. Listen.
Okay.
So every night at 8:00, we've got that.
Yeah. And so also for our grocery people who are stocking shelves and checking us out, for truckers who are driving across the United States and beyond to deliver food and goods to our stores.
Yeah.
Take a knee for the people of Silver Lake Wine who are keeping Rob Benedict afloat during this difficult time. For everybody, listen, man, like hopefully some of you are listening to the show and we
appreciate you very much.
Tip our cap to everything you're doing, man. It's no joke. And I think it's interesting because it really has shined a light, this experience, on people. Here's the big joke.
Yeah.
That when the shit hit the fan and essential workers rose to the top, a lot of those essential workers aren't who people would have thought they would have been just guessing this 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Right.
Yes, you would think teachers. Yes, you would think doctors. But would you think
your store
clerks?
Yeah.
Your stocking your stockers. Your delivery guys. And gals. Your people at the checkout counter at the grocery store. I mean, so many people.
Those people going in to check you out from the grocery stores. Those people every day going in, And I think the same of my, you know, I've had to go into the post, we've got like a mailboxes, et cetera, kind of place down the street. And the guys in there and the women in there, they've I've had to mail a lot of stuff, and they're in there every day. And there's a sign at the door, like, please wear your mask inside. They're going in there every day, you know, and putting themselves at risk so that we can keep mailing our packages.
It's so impressive.
Yeah.
Now, I know that, you know, a lot of this is also, you know, essential for the country to keep going and for society to keep moving. And a lot of these positions we're speaking about, we're referencing, they're underpaid people. These are people who are not paid well or not paid what they deserve, especially during these hazardous times. And I just want us to acknowledge that as well. We're speaking of them heroically, and I don't think they're feeling the love when the paycheck comes in. So I just want you to know, everybody, for all those teachers who are teaching classes online and keeping, you know, when a teacher is teaching a class online, they're not just educating children or adults. They're actually bringing a dose of sanity and regularity and normalcy to homes that are otherwise anything but. And I know, as a father of three children, those teachers on the screen, whatever they are dealing with personally in their COVID universe, they put on pause and they come visit my children who are alongside a bunch of other children. I want to thank them sincerely from the bottom of my heart, and from the administrators who are making the schools work and everybody who's doing everything. I go down to the hardware store. I know the man who owns the hardware store. His father owned it. His grandfather owned it. He's in there. He's got little children. He's running the hardware store. And I appreciate the hell out of everybody doing what they need to be doing for this time. And by the way, I'm going to say this now. Okay. If you get takeout, if you are somebody who orders takeout at all, over tip. If you're somebody who does anything that is in a tip business, you're picking up food. A lot of times, maybe you don't tip when you pick up food because you're feeling like, well, you know, I'm doing the legwork.
Tip those people.
I'm just saying, tip, man. This is the time to go above and beyond.
Absolutely.
These people are working hard, and revenue is down.
Yeah.
And if you can afford it, a tip.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
We're in such a strange time. Yeah. We are going to look back in this. And I was telling my sons, I said, you know, you're having a moment that you don't know you're having because you're too young to understand this. Yeah. Totally. But, you know, I went to the LA riots.
Yeah.
But I was in LA. And so my friends from Tennessee would go, what was that like?
Yeah.
And of course, 9/11 happened, and 9/11 was obviously a globally shocking event.
But none more than our friends in New York.
Yeah, I wasn't in New York, so I didn't really. I knew what the impact was politically and emotionally, but not actual. I wasn't there for the actual impact.
Yeah.
And earthquakes that have happened, and floodings that have happened in your town, or events that have happened in your country or city that have impacted you, but not others. This is one of those rare events, and I guess it only happens with an epidemic or a pandemic that affects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is an everybody moment. This is an, you know, this is an all skate.
Yeah.
We're all out on the rink.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's a time when, you know, our children, and I say our for anybody listening, whether you have little children or older children, at some point they and their peers would go, hey, what was that pandemic 2020 like for you guys?
Yeah,
what was the COVID thing like for you guys? Where were you?
It's going to be.
And they're like, well, I was in Brussels and I was a schoolboy. I was in LA. And
it's going to be part of their, it's part of their narrative, you know, for the rest of their lives.
It's a narrative, though, that you and I didn't have, though, Rob, because we weren't part of London being bombed in World War II.
No, I know.
You know what I mean? We weren't part of any sort of political movement in China.
Yeah.
We weren't part of anything that happened that brought everything to a standstill.
Yeah.
I've never seen or witnessed or been a part of anything like this. And it is really, really, really interesting. At once scary, and if you have a sick loved one or a sick friend or know somebody who's not doing well, or, you know, our hearts are with you. And if you are friends with somebody who's putting themselves in harm's way, our hearts are with you. And you know, if you're by yourself and this is a scary time for you, there's a giant ding sound, which I should turn off. But if you are, if you're somebody who's by yourself, and
is
and,
it your wife and, saying come in for dinner?
If your wife says this is it, you've pushed it, you're out. Then you're obviously married to my wife. I'm just saying, if you are somebody who's dealing with this issue by yourself, that's a different journey than I'm having. And I understand that that's a challenging journey. Rob understands it's a challenging journey.
Yep.
And we want you guys to know that we're with you. Everybody's with you. We're all experiencing this as a nation, as a people, as literally as a mammal.
Yeah.
All humans are experiencing this. And
I've been appreciating what we're experiencing as a community, because I always think just sociologically speaking, the community is an important aspect of our existence, I think. And the community that you and I live in, this thing that happens at 8 o'clock where we all yell out the window or bang drums or play music, like that's been very unifying, I feel like, for our community.
Is that just us, or is that America-wide?
Not everybody. Other parts of LA I know are not doing it. And, you know, in New York they are. In London I know they are. But it's communities. It's just different communities are doing it, you know?
I'm going to tell you something right now, and I'll throw this out there to everybody out there. Chill challenge to everybody out there. This is not something that costs money to do. If you don't know the name of your postal carrier, or of your UPS delivery person, or of your FedEx delivery person, when you get the opportunity to safely do so, get their name. Personalize who they are. Say thank you for what they do. Because as much as they might be delivering something to Rob and Rich and you, they're also delivering medical supplies to the hospital and vital nutrients to the grocery stores and everybody. Anybody's delivering anything, especially now you realize, oh, essential services. These are the things we need to know. These are the people we need to appreciate that we have just assumed would be there. And I think that's everybody's doing something valuable. You know, everybody's positive attitude and positive energy is so essential during this period, Rob. Am I wrong?
Not at all. I mean, we're all doing our part, right? Everyone's doing what they can. But we are calling out the people that are going to work and keeping us running, as you know, because it's really, we're in this situation where only things that are actually working are these certain things: grocery stores, post offices, and food service. And the people that are keeping this going are heroes right now. But yeah, it's a scary time. It's a scary time for sure. And you know, even earlier when I said I'm judging people without masks, look, we're all doing the best that we can, and everyone has different interpretation of what's going on. The information we're getting is varied, and at best, and you know, we're all doing what we can. I really appreciated. Did you see Saturday Night Live yet from last Saturday, from a couple days ago?
I haven't seen Saturday Night Live since 2014. Attaboy. So no, I missed that one.
Attaboy. Since 1984. Eddie Murphy had just made his debut.
No, seriously, is Will Ferrell still on it?
Not anymore. But they did this show last Saturday, and it was all from home. And I think it's really admirable what they did. They did, you know, they did Zoom sketches, and it's really cool to me. And to me, when, like, you know, all the late night show hosts are doing shows from home, and it really, like,
oh,
it puts us all in the same, we're all in the same place. Like, Kimmel is in his bedroom.
I think it's
just
genius.
Like I am.
I think it's great. I literally am watching John Oliver. John Oliver's best shows. I mean, I think,
the
and
best.
I love John Oliver. I have since Daily Show.
The best.
What he's doing right now.
Love what he's doing.
And I love what he's doing. And I think there's, John Oliver were to ever be one of our 19 listeners, I'd be shocked. But so would he when I say that I think John Oliver's better not playing to an audience, because he's not waiting for the laugh. He's just solidly doing his satire.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's so smart. I love it. Yeah. I love what everybody's doing. And I love that SNL's doing what they can do to tell their stories. And I love the news, you know, that Chris Cuomo is broadcasting from his basement to talk about having COVID. And people are doing their best to be, you know, when Tom Hanks is tweeting about the experience that he and Rita were having. Like, it's great that everybody's doing their best to be communicative and still do what they do in the way that they are now having to do it.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really, really great.
Yeah,
because it's important that creative people stay creative, man. To be totally honest, it's great that like you need people out there. Just because they can't be at the set with the audience and the fancy cameras, they're still the great, funny personalities that you have come to know and love on the TV for or the internet or wherever.
Yeah,
forever. That, you know, their skill wasn't born on the moment they stepped on that soundstage. It was crafted for years before that. So they are well adept and well, you know, set up to do this moment well and service it well and be funny and be poignant. You know, I always think, you know, comedians are our window into truth with a sugar pill that makes it easy enough to swallow. And I think it's important for them to be doing their monologues and their pieces and their interviews and carrying forward with their style of entertainment. I think it's very valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually Tom Hanks is the quote unquote host of Saturday Night Live. And he does an opening monologue and it's great from his kitchen.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Man, the time has flown by.
It has flown by. And you know, this has been what, 2 hours, but I think we'll whittle it down to a solid 15 minutes. But
yeah, well, and Lord knows I've been waiting for 4 hours, but we finally finished it.
This was a six mezcal podcast. Wow,
it is. It's in all reality, it's a two mezcal and a beer podcast.
Oh, really? Wow, you really hit the brakes there about 10 minutes into the show.
Well, you when you said you were getting a beer, I was like, well, I guess I got to get a beer. And so
no, but I'm saying you were like cruising, like you were.
I was. I cruised through two mezcal drinks, and then you were like, "I'm getting a beer." I was like, "Okay." And then when you were in one of your long stories in the podcast just now, I went to the kitchen
about family or freedom or America. Which one bored you?
It was the Civil War. It was the Civil War. Ken Burns.
Uh huh.
And I got a beer from the fridge.
How dare you? Everybody who's listening, take care of yourselves, wash those hands, stay 6 feet away from anybody. If you leave that house, you put on a mask, you stay safe. We want the same number of listeners as we have
That's
this
true.
Week as we will next
That's
week.
True.
I don't know if that math makes sense,
four
but you see
weeks.
What I'm saying. We don't want our listener count to go down to 7. We want to keep it at 8.
Hashtag what Richard said. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being my guest again, Rich.
You're welcome, dude. Thanks for the invite. Really appreciate it.
I hope to shit that you actually recorded your end.
Nope. Are we going to record one after this? I'm ready.
All right, everybody. I'll see you next week.
So will I. Hey, everything's great. And my guest is Richard Spade. Yeah.